We saw Bitcoin hit a high of nearly 72K and then wicked all the way back down to 68.5, it looks like. Bit of a Darth Maul candle right there. And we're now hanging out around 70K, which is where we started the day. Few headlines to get through. Just being OSF, so it'll probably be a bit more quickfire today, just by the nature of these conversations. But we're going to have a guest later, of which OSF is wearing the hoodie of right now. Won't you, can you stand up and we can see that?
Do you want to do it now, or do you want to save it for like the...
Oh, maybe we'll have a big reveal later. Today's show partner is Merch, or Merch. I'm still unsure how to say that. I think we're going to be corrected when they come on the show. But yeah, my hoodie got lost in Portuguese customs. OSF appears to have got his. Anyway, let's get straight into stuff. Bit of a volatile day. The headline that came out just before we went live was that the ongoing court case between Coinbase and the SEC is not going to be thrown out. Remember, this is a court case which basically started, I think, summer of last year. And then they had some hearings with the judges back in January, and there was some idea that this may get thrown out. It's now been partially thrown out. So it looks like let me just bring it up. It looks like part of the case, which was, there was a case against Coinbase Wallet and there was a case against Coinbase. It seems like the case against Coinbase Wallet has been thrown out, but the one against Coinbase and staking is going to continue. Your and my favorite Fred Orr, Adam Cochran, came in hot with his take, which I thought was actually one of the better ones, which is court sides with SEC on motion to dismiss. This means the court case will proceed to the full case. While I'm a bit surprised at the finding, this is not an indicator of how the actual court case will proceed. That is true. To be clear, this has been expected that it wouldn't be, or at least it was more likely that it wouldn't get thrown out. At least the whole case wouldn't get thrown out. So this isn't particularly unexpected, and doesn't mean that they've been found guilty or anything like that. It just means that the court case can go forward. He does follow up by saying, although more importantly, it did side with Coinbase on the wallet issue, deciding Coinbase Wallet was not a broker, which I think is important here, which is good and good for DeFi. The only staking program stuff is proceeding. So staking within the CEX, within Coinbase, that's the thing they're going to get taken to court from. He said, and I think this win is important, can a CEX offer staking? Maybe not. Can a CEX offer a embedded on-chain wallet wrapping DeFi and doing staking on-chain? Yes. So I actually think this is not so bad, but the market, I think, just panicked about it a little bit. But for me, I read this and go like, right, well, you can actually have staking via your own custodial wallet. That's kind of bullish for DeFi. What do you think here?
Yeah, I think it is bullish for DeFi. I think it is. I think I saw a few takes on Twitter talking about that. I think the important thing about this one is people, I think, didn't really understand the headline. Like, Coinbase filed for a motion to dismiss the headline. It doesn't mean Coinbase lost to the SEC to dismiss the case. It doesn't mean Coinbase have lost this case. It just means the case is still going to go ahead and still going to go to trial. So, you know, it's, yeah, like, I guess if you're really hoping and pricing in that this case would be dismissed, it would, to be honest with you, it would have been really, really bullish if that happened, because it's just like, fuck, the SEC just have no legs to stand on right now. But this case will still go to trial. We just don't know who's going to win. But, you know, maybe this is an indication by the court that, you know, this will be a legitimate trial.
Yeah, I think it just says that they're going to go to trial. I still think that the Coinbase has got a good chance of winning. I remember I was reading things back in January by various different, lawyers, you would say, or people who are familiar with the case, who said they didn't think it would get dismissed, but that it would go to trial and the SEC would probably lose, because it's similar to other cases that they brought and lost. So particularly particularly ones against exchanges in the past. So I don't know. But this, when I read about this Adam Cochran thing, that this could now basically clear the way for DeFi, I do think we will rally on the back of that. I don't know. It's definitely not all negative. It was a very bad first headline, which I think hit which is basically that they had lost. And then when you get into the nuances of it, it doesn't seem like a complete loss. In fact, it feels like 50-50 here. And it's definitely not a finality that they've lost on the actual case itself. So that's what caused us to go lower just then. We had a pretty strong day before that. Like I said, just as the US went live, we hit just shy of 72K there, which was a decent figure. Oh God. Let me just bring up the right thing here. And that was mainly on the back of the ETF headline. So we had a very decent day yesterday in the ETF. Most strong day I think we've had in a long, long, long time, right? Let me just bring up the ETFs. 418 million of inflows into the ETF yesterday. Interestingly, the GBTC outflow really has begun to slow down. But you also saw big inflows into the IBIT, into the Fidelity one, and Fidelity ETF. It kind of feels like this GBTC thing, they haven't got much left, right? So we can start to look through that quite comfortably towards the end of the week. Even this headline for against Coinbase, is that really that negative for Bitcoin? It kind of feels like this is still a decent environment where Bitcoin feels like it could push towards all-time high. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good to see a slowdown in the GBTC outflows. It's still large numbers, you know, it's still 212 million yesterday. That's not the lowest number this week. So those numbers have been pretty consistent. And the good thing about yesterday is we had some of the other ETFs put in some big numbers. So Fidelity put in some big numbers in the last couple of days. ARK had a decent number yesterday. So it's good. Like 418 million is a really big inflow number again. And that comes after a small number yesterday and then 5 days of consecutive outflows the week before. So it's good and it's something definitely to get bulled up about. And we'll just have to see how that progresses, I think. Like, I think, as you said, markets kind of misread the headline a little bit and sold off. We've now bounced back pretty aggressively. I think we're back lower again a little bit today. So things will just continue to be volatile and I need Tom.
I know I'm just tweeting out the FOMOIR link for everyone here. You're just gonna see along. It's difficult when you have to speak so much, right? It's just me and you.
Yeah. Another thing worth noting, by the way, is also Fidelity have also filed an S1 filed an S1 for their ETH ETF application. So
So that is the first time we've seen any sort of movement from any of the major providers. They filed, let me just bring it up. Yeah, an S1.
They filed the 19.4B today, and then they just filed the S1.
Oh, that seems to have been deleted. But yeah, that does show some movement in the ETF, which is decent. We did have a slightly negative and a positive headline yesterday, which is the DOJ was coming after KuCoin, which is, I would say, a second-tier exchange. They were based, I think, out of the Seychelles, right, for a long time. And the DOJ came after them for money laundering. Alongside the CFTC, the interesting thing about this was the CFTC named ETH and Litecoin as commodities in that case. So a little bit of a land grab again by the CFTC. Obviously, there's been a lot of wrestling here about whether ETH is a security or not. I quite like Hasaka's tweet yesterday about, you know, this isn't great because I think KuCoin saw, you know, 800 million of outflows since that headline came out. But a few sacks is getting sued in exchange to the CFTC hammering down on its these tokens are commodities, not securities. Get your shit together, Gary stance. It's a fair trade. I kind of agree with that. If you have money on KuCoin, maybe you're annoyed. At the same time, this headline, I think, was broadly positive for ETH. It still felt as though ETH has not really... It's kind of in line. It's not. I haven't really seen any major outperformance by any of these over the last 24 hours. Looks like ETH over the last 24 hours is down slightly. Solana's down, kind of, I guess, beta adjusted. That's probably down the most. But Bitcoin's been the one that's still been outperforming, at least over the last 24 hours. I don't know. Like, ETH ETF, it still feels as though the base case is that this isn't happening. But we are starting to see more evidence that you could have tail events at this could still go through. The strongest one actually over the last 24 hours has been Doge. Meme coins, again, just having a very, very strong period. Doge going up towards its local high again. There's been a lot of positive sentiment about that. You obviously have had like Whiff and some of the other Solana coins all hitting highs recently, and Doge has kind of been quiet, but then it's taken over the last 24 hours. I saw you highlighted a positive post by Trade Main, right? Like, what do you think here?
Yeah, I just think he says it's one of those things where like there's a few different trades out there where people are like, this should happen this cycle if the cycle is what we think it is. And one of them is Doge going to one, another one maybe Bitcoin to 100K, another one might be like ETH to 5K, whatever it is, Solana to 300, whatever it is. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting one because he talks about Doge going to one, potentially this cycle, which is a possibility. And then he brings up the question of like, you know, what happens with Whiff, because it's now one of the biggest and premier memes, he calls it. It's definitely one of the biggest memes by market cap. And it's the new meme. It's the one that's only been around for 4 months now or whatever it is. So it's an interesting point. It's like, you know, if Doge goes to like, let's say it goes to $80 billion again or $100 billion market cap, where does that put something like Whiff, and where does it put something like Pepe and all this other stuff?
They're getting very close, yeah. Aren't they? I thought Anson tweeting about it. Obviously, over the last 70 days, Whiff is up another 50%. Pepe's up 10%. Yeah. They're now they're basically at the same level here.
Yeah, they've been tracking the same level. Yeah, I guess that yesterday was a big move. Well, the last 7 days, there's been a big move. I think Whiff did flip Pepe like momentarily a week ago, 2 weeks ago or so. But yeah, they're getting very close. And if you flip Pepe, you're now the number three coin. Even without flipping Pepe, you're in the top four coins. So, but it's the new coin as well. So it's definitely on Solana. So which has its own narrative. Like, that's the thing. Doge is its own chain. SHIB is an ERC-20. Pepe is an ERC-20. I don't even know what Floki is. I'm guessing it's an ERC-20. But Whiff is the one that's on Solana. And I think Solana still has a very strong narrative this year. And, you know, if Solana continues to outperform ETH this cycle, does that mean Sol memes outperform ETH memes this cycle? I don't think the answer is like that transitive or that obvious or clear, but it's definitely a strong, narrative, I think.
They're definitely taking up most of these. Right?
Yeah, you're sincerely from a Whiff holder.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, they're still dominating all the top trades, at least on chain at the moment.
Yeah.
We'll get into kind of what happened yesterday, because I think some of the other narratives which have been pushed recently are Blast and Base. Base had a strong meme coin launch yesterday with Roost. It looks like Roost went all the way up to like $150 million market cap. That was a pre-sale. Which did like a 10x or something like that. And then blast. This is quite a story over the last 24 hours. So it looks as though Munchables, which was which is like a DeFi gaming sort of play on Blast. It's not something that I ever was involved in, but they got hacked. They got hacked actually by their own dev. It looks like the dev actually was basically four different devs at the same time, which I thought was pretty funny. Based out of North Korea, who took 60, I think he upgraded the code and took 63 million of the treasury. There was pandemonium yesterday when that happened. A lot of talk about we need to roll back the chain, fork basically Blast. Since before this exploit happened, try and protect everyone's funds. Everyone was up in arms, and then in the end, he just kind of gave it back. I didn't really follow. That's not normally what happens with North Korean hacks here. So it did feel as though I was surprised, but yeah. Yesterday we saw Pac-Man come out and say, "Look, 97 million has been secured in a multi-sig by the Blast core contributors, took an incredible lift in the background by grateful that the ex-Munchables dev opted to return all funds in the end without any ransom required." He gave it all back. It's also the money that I think Juice Finance, which is the lending protocol, had a pool related to Munchables, which also was basically taken. And it's all been given back. What's your view here on this? Did you think he should have rolled it back? There was a lot of questions about whether this was decentralized or not, and I don't know. My answer was just that I didn't really think anyone thought Blast is decentralized, but what did you think?
Yeah, I think they should have rolled it back. I mean, don't forget, ETH has a Ethereum is forked because there was this thing called the DAO hack, I think back in 2016 or whatever it was, and that was to the tune of a similar amount, I think 60 or 70 million. So you actually have Ethereum Classic, and which is the original Ethereum, and you have ETH, which is what it is now before that happened. So I do definitely think rolling it back would have been the right option. I think they found an even better solution, which was just to get the guy to give back the money. But yeah, what a story. I mean, that was just fucking mental, wasn't it? Zach XBT really pulled through on this one. Like, he's like identified who the person is, said it's the same person, showed where the funds are going. And then the guy has to, like, the thing about Blast hacks, right? The guy, you have to fucking bridge your ETH back, which takes 14 days. So the guy must have been like, fuck, like, I've done this massive exploit, but now I have to bridge back. It's going to take me 14 days. And yeah.
Is
this really worth it? Am I really going to be able to pull this off?
This reply coming in hot, Zach XBT.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I've never seen him like that before. Came and clapped back at the North Korean devs who basically stole the money. Definitely came in hot. That's the hottest I've ever seen Zach get. He normally gets, he gets kind of annoyed when people take advantage of him, but he definitely crazy that he got that money back. A lot of people, I think, even tipped him, sent him money. Because this was huge. 62 million would be a massive hack.
Huge hack, yeah. Huge
exploit. Blast. We had this, we had a conversation in the background, and we had this conversation on the show. My honest view is this is just the beginning for hacks on Blast. And there's nothing against Blast. It's more that I think a lot of these protocols are new protocols. They were all fairly hurriedly pushed out at the same time in order to get all the points and the gold and all this sort of stuff. So they all had to launch at the same time. And often they haven't been on other chains. So like they obviously got nerfed to their front other chains. They haven't been really tested before. And to me, it just means like, if I was a hacker, I'd be all over this ecosystem. Like, it just feels like this is the place to be. Your point, which I completely agree with too, is that you don't actually really need to. I mean, you can do all the gold stuff and interact with all the protocols, but you can just kind of chill and still get points. And you obviously, you're getting native yield. What's your view on this about the Blast ecosystem? Because I think it is in some ways picking up pennies in front of a steamroller when you see this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I just think people, you know, there are always risks to this kind of stuff. And something to remember, you know, we always talk about not your keys, not your crypto, right? So as soon as you put your money into a smart contract, which is like whatever, you know, this Munchables thing was, it is a smart contract where once you put it in there, you're no longer self-custodying your crypto. Like, if you put in your money into a smart contract to yield farm or whatever it is, you're no longer, you know, in control of it, and you're at risk if that gets exploited. So you have to remember that it is a risk when you do that, and you have to factor those risks into what you're doing. And I think people just forget that sometimes because they just feel like, oh, because it's still my decentralized wallet that's interacting with it, I still own it. But you don't actually own it. The smart contract owns it until you retrieve your funds. So it's always going to be a risk. And then you have to, you know, question, like, is it really worth doing all these things to make money when you could just own spot, like, even in fucking spot Bitcoin now, right? Which is still going to give you like massive, you know, it's still giving you a great return, or to the other coins. Like, I just think there's so much better risk upside downside in holding spot of good coins, even fucking meme coins, because you know you're not going to get compromised or exploited or anything like that. And the worst thing is like doing one of these like things where you're trying to pick up yield here and there, but you're not actually custodying your own crypto, and then it gets exploited, and then you're just like, fuck, I wasn't even doing something with like a huge amount of return, but I just perceived it was safe because I'm not like taking price risk, but I took massive operational risk. And yeah, and just got screwed basically. So I think that's just, for me, that's something that people are not very good at assessing risk-wise, I think.
Yeah, I think B-Check put out a good tweet earlier, which is, he thought I lost 12 ETH in Munchables. I've never been to an expensive business school, but I just thought I'd paid my tuition, lol. Now it looks like funds are safe. Here are my reflections. Don't follow big accounts necessarily. Size appropriately to risk manage. Cornering an individual and blocking path out is not a W for decentralization. He basically said this whole thing. I think everyone is doing a lot of experimental things on Blast. And I think unlike maybe even other chains, this is a more risky chain by nature. You know, like, it is a lot of new stuff, so just be aware of that. I'm not saying don't do it, but I think we're going to see a lot more of this. I really do. Like, this is not going to be the only time you see an exploit like this on Blast. And the concept of rolling back the chain, I think this was enough funds that they probably would. But if you see an exploit for, like, I would say less than 10 million, I don't think he'll be rolling back anything. So don't assume that, you know, there's a fail safe here for anything that isn't like a catastrophically big hack, essentially.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, once you do it once, you kind of set a precedent for the future and you can't just keep rolling it back. So it's really good it didn't have to go down that route and they were able to solve this issue. But yeah.
So that was probably the biggest headline in terms of even NFT stuff, because it feels like a lot of NFT people are involved in Blast, because obviously they're involved in Blur and it's kind of moved on to that. But it does still feel like NFTs are a little bit quiet. The main activity has definitely been in meme coins. I saw most of the Solana meme coins appear to be doing well. I think Wen hit an all-time high. Like we said, Whiff is about to flip Pepe. You saw the headline that the UK is now going to come down hard on meme coins. One of the first jurisdictions to really crack down on this. And I don't know, this kind of feels like we could see this from a bunch of different countries. The headline is, the UK is regulating memes about crypto and other investments to curb scams from finfluencers. And I saw you put a tweet about that earlier. Do you want to maybe just give a TLDR on what this is?
Yeah, it's sort of guidelines on promotions. And in the UK, you have something called financial promotions. So if you're promoting a financial product, you have to abide by certain things to get that promotional material out, which is usually things like mentioning the risks, you know, not inducing FOMO and maybe not talking about future prices without having shown historical price action, all this kind of stuff. Basically, if anyone has ever done the CFA or studied financial ethics, you'll be familiar with a lot of these concepts. So what they're saying is, you know, that's historically applied to, it should really apply to anyone, to be honest with you, but the focus has really been on companies, and companies have to often seek regulator approval before getting this communication out. I think what they've realized now in recent times is obviously a lot of influencers are out there pumping and dumping crypto and saying crazy stuff. And they're basically saying crypto could potentially be a complicated financial product for which you would need to abide by the FCA rulebook in terms of the communication that you put out there, and which I think is fair. Like, it's good in a way, it's a good thing. It should protect people from, you know, buying rugs or pump and dumps, and it creates a higher standard for communication that people put out there, influencers put out there, rather than just like the shit that KSI would tweet or whatever, and then people go and buy it, and then the whole thing is down 100%. The big question here is, like, you know, some of the articles and the documents allude to even influencers requiring FCA permission before getting the communication out, and if they're not authorized people. And that's the bit which is, I think, to me, a step too far. Like, you can't just stop all communication on crypto and just have every single thing need to be approved. But rather, I think you should make clear what's allowed and what's not allowed. And when someone breaks the rules, just, like, you know, go after them and give them a fine or a punishment. And I think that would do a much better job at policing it, but allowing for, you know, a little bit of the freedom of speech that we should have in crypto.
Yeah, it's definitely heavy-handed. And they've been a bit heavy-handed recently. A lot of crypto firms obviously left the UK a few months back when they changed some of their advertising laws. And then this is the next thing, which is about meme coins. I would be unsurprised if you start to see other, I think largely meme coins have kind of escaped the concept of regulation, right? Like, even people that are just like, well, they're memes, you know, like, they should have their own value. But this is the first sign I've seen since this meme coin mania that you're going to start to see governments start to move in. I would be unsurprised if you saw stuff like this in the EU or other jurisdictions relatively soon. But yeah, that wasn't a great headline, I thought, over the last 24 hours. It does feel like we are bouncing back here. I would be so unsurprised if we start to see Bitcoin go back to 72K. There was a headline yesterday that hedge funds have been shorting crypto stocks the most, kind of amongst the most ever. I think it's 11 billion of crypto shorts on stocks like MicroStrategy, Coinbase, and some of the miners. So it feels as though there's a short base back in crypto right now, where I think we could bounce even on headlines like this. And then finally, we saw that the Hong Kong again is kind of a little bit closer in its step towards getting ETFs. So I think we're in a decent step. The final point for NFTs, which came out just before we went live, was to do with Azuki. Azuki had been rallying for the last couple of that was done the wrong way around. Anyway, the Azuki has been rallying for the last couple of days. We ended up with a situation where they announced today that there's going to be a chain, which I think was a rumor had been coming for a long time. It is a chain called Anime Chain, and it's going to be on Arbitrum. We're excited to bring the anime industry on chain with Anime Coin and Arbitrum. With our anime productions, games, and physical products, we will showcase the power of decentralized model for growing IP on Anime Chain. That was all that was sent. I don't know if they have it a little bit here. So it looks like they're basically going to be using it to build IP. I don't really know why it needs to be its own chain, but what do you think here? I think this has basically been leaked for a while. But and what's happened to Azuki since that headline came up?
It's so funny. It was like uploads the last two or three days, and then today it's just like down as people like dump their Azukis into the price action. It's just crazy how this information just gets out.
Are you bullish on Anime Chain?
I like the idea of Anime Chain. You know, like when someone told me Azuki were doing a token, and I went to go on there, basically I just expected there to be like some sort of random token as part of like a game or something. But then there's this whole thing called Anime Coin, which I thought was interesting. Like, it's a cool idea, I think. I'm interested to see how it integrates into what they're doing, but it's something that was better than I would have expected, having, you know, if the only information you gave me was there's going to be an Azuki coin.
Yeah. I mean, it's been rallying, like you said, for the last week. It is interesting that as soon as that headline hit, everything just got dumped. So clearly this was private trading, private information beforehand, and then it's been leaked. I mean, I'd even heard that this might be happening. So I'm sure people closer to Azuki, and I own zero Azuki, so I think people closer to that situation would have heard for sure.
It's interesting to see it on Arbitrum, actually. You know, you had Zion Arbitrum, which obviously has done pretty well, and now you have Azuki, which is, you know, whether you like it or dislike it or are looking at the price action, it has really been one of the largest NFT projects out there in the last two or three years, and it's done a ton of volume. So it's a really big project to go over onto Arbitrum, I think. It's pretty noteworthy that.
Well, Pete Sivechad came out and said the node sale method is only possible on Arbitrum because of the bridge ETH totals. This is very important. So the amount of ETH on Arbitrum is obviously very, very high. I think you saw Ether, I think it's called. They did a node sale. I think this is on Arbitrum too. And they sold like another hundreds of millions of nodes, essentially, very recently. Obviously, Zai sold all of its nodes. I would be very unsurprised if this Azuki plan involves them selling nodes. Which is basically like token bags, which are going to be, which are going to dilute over time. And that's basically how they're going to do the anime chain. So it's just because Arbitrum has so much ETH on it. Like, not many of these other chains can really actually support the idea they're going to do a massive ETH sale. So I think that's where this is headed. I think we're going to see a big, big ETH node sale from the anime chain.
Is it going to be a node sale thing as well?
Well, they didn't say that. They didn't say that, but like, this is very telling. This was put out, you know, just after the announcement.
Do you think Sizechat came up with this himself?
He's a genius. He's a complete genius. I mean, node sales have been so popular recently, right? Like, it's ever since Zai did them. I mean, they were popular last cycle with Scala, and then Zai did them and obviously raised a few hundred million. Ether's now done them, raised a few hundred million. If I'm sitting there as a Zuki, and you can make a pitch that they can sell a few hundred million of nodes, that's pretty appealing, right? If you're running the Azuki chain, or you're part of the Azuki team. So I think it's kind of a slam dunk what they're going to plan to do here. Interesting, like, that was the only real NFT that saw decent volume. Everything's a little bit lower. There was some movement in Sense, which is this Bitcoin thing, which I'm only really just reading about now. And there was the, what is it called? There's a Gladiator thing, which is related to that mint yesterday, the Gaming Gladiators, which rallied on the back of that. But yeah, it's been relatively quiet again in new NFT stuff. There's still some interesting stories here, particularly ones, I think, around airdrops, which that's where you're seeing the majority of, like, the, I don't know, positive momentum, positive volume. But even Bitcoin Ordinal took a little bit of a dip over the last 24 hours. So still feels like the focus for now is on meme coins.